sermons of my childhood was hearing for the first time about the whole armor of God. It was something that was odd to me. I thought of armor as something that a knight would wear. And I imagined in my head as we went through at length, I believe it was a Sunday evening sermon series, if you remember those old Sunday evening gatherings. And I think it took the guy like 6 weeks to cover Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. And so every time we showed up, it was the same. The armor of God, the armor of God, the armor of God. And in my head, as a youngster, I thought of the armor of God as an offensive weapon. Because that's how it was taught. It was taught as something that you go into battle with. But as I've grown older, I've discovered that the full armor of God is given to us as a defensive weapon. Because the enemies that we experience in this world, enemies against the church, are fierce. We see some of it on the news as we recognize the attacks against churches around the world, including churches in our own nation. Every year, in fact, every month, there are churches that are attacked physically by the powers of darkness. Some people burn down churches for fun. Some across Europe and across the United States will willingly and joyfully attack a church or clergy. And this isn't even speaking about what happens in the Middle East and in some of the areas in which being a Christian may well be against the law and certainly is something that is physically punished. But that's not what we're talking about all the time when we look at Ephesians 6. Oftentimes we get caught up in the physical realities of spiritual warfare. We get caught up in the real, actual, physical dangers. And so we miss what Paul is telling us about the spiritual concerns. The reality is that if you're a Christian today, alive, you are probably undergoing spiritual attack. The spiritual attacks don't necessarily come in the form of bullies. They don't necessarily come in the forms of physical violence. But those spiritual attacks are all real for those who would follow Jesus. The spiritual attacks affect our heart, our soul, our mind. And the spiritual attacks that are the worst are those that affect our feet. They stop us from going into the world with love and peace and confidence. Those spiritual attacks, which many of us ignore or think are simply an aspect of our psychology, those spiritual attacks are when we wrestle against principalities and powers. Remember, the whole cornerstone of this passage is that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not engaged in a battle that is a physical battle, is what Paul's trying to tell us. The battle that we are engaged with is something deeper. It's against the rulers of the darkness of this world. You see, the church in the world today is a usurper of the powers of darkness. We are bringing light into a world that has been filled with darkness since the fall of humanity. We live in enemy territory, spiritually as well as physically. And we are contending every day with spiritual forces that are actively against us. You know why it's so difficult to wake up in the morning and have your prayers? It's because every urge in your body is to move forward without it. Everything that is normal about life is going to pull you away from the spiritual things. You see, our default position is not to think spiritually and in godly ways. Our normal life is a sinful life. And this is one of the things that those, especially those who are raised in the church, have difficulty with. There's a reason why those who come to Christ at a later age tend to have so much fire and power. And the reason they do is because they've engaged in the world. The world has taken them for a ride, and it's been a difficult one. But those of us who've grown up in the church, we find it more difficult to deal with the realities of spiritual warfare. Frankly, because most of the people that we meet at church seem to be so together. They look from outward appearances to be calm and peaceful and loving. You don't see the inner turmoil. And frankly, because we are people of good taste, we don't typically tell you the truth. If you were to tell the truth, then every time someone would say, "Hey, Pastor Dan, how are you doing today?" Well, you just don't want to know. Right? Because you know when you're asked how you're doing today, you have that immediate choice. Do I say it, the truth, or do I politely nod and say, "I'm blessed"? And most of us, if we want to keep our friends, politely nod and say, "I'm blessed." But the reality is, from the moment we woke up to the time that we encountered the first person asking us how we are today, we have been under spiritual attack. And today, I want to make sure that you know that that spiritual attack is real, but so too is the power of God to defend you. Paul is letting the church know that you have been given the ability to withstand the attacks of the dark ones. That you are not standing alone against the powers of the world, even though sometimes it feels like we are. Paul tells us about this wonderful, aren't these images great? I remember when I was a kid, my parents, you know, we went from the Catholic Church to the Baptist Church, and so all of this stuff about like Christian consumerism, it didn't really exist in the Catholic Church in the same way it did in Protestantism. In the Catholic Church, you know, you light a candle and you throw quarters in a little bin. But in the Baptist Church, you go to the Bible bookstore. And they sold you everything from Jesus action figures to the full armor of God. And when I say they sold you the full armor of God, you can buy the full armor of God and wear it around the house. And believe me, my younger brothers, they did. Okay? In the way that some people wore the Batman costume, early Christian Bellavia household was filled with this kind of stuff. And we would have the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. And all it really was a suit of armor that said salvation on the helmet. And we would attack just like we did with sticks in the backyard. So that sword of the Spirit usually was used to whack my brother. But there was another reason for it. And it isn't something that was used for us to think back. It was actually a metaphor that worked in those days. There were people that wore armor every day going to work. The Roman soldiers, the guards of the day, a significant portion of the population showed up to work wearing the full armor. Why? Because that's what they needed to survive. Those who were soldiers, those who kept the peace, including the temple police, were prepared for anything in their lives. If they didn't bring their belt that day, then they didn't have a place to hang their sword. If they forgot their breastplate, they might well not go home that day. Their helmet was to guard the most precious aspect of their life in their mind. They went to work knowing that it was a dangerous world. And so they prepared for a dangerous world. Paul is trying to let the church know that if you don't prepare for a dangerous world, you will be taken down during your day. You have to be ready for the spiritual attacks that are coming. Now, I grew up a sports fan, and one of the things that we know about sports is that offense might win games, but defense wins championships. We've heard that said a million times, right? But let me tell you the truth about this. Many churches think that the way to grow their church, the way to live, is going to be offensively. What they do is they want to figure out how they can penetrate the world in an offensive way, that they'll go out and they'll win disciples. But the real thing that takes down churches isn't a lack of offense. Most of the things that takes down churches are a lack of defense. Think about it this way. How easy is it to take down a church with sin? A pastor falls and the church is done. A deacon messes up and the church is done. Half the families walk away. Interpersonal relationships in the church destroy the church far worse and with far more frequency than a church that won't go out into the world. And I'll tell you this, a church that won't go out in the world usually won't go into the world because they're already wounded. They're already injured. The battles have already made it so they no longer are willing or strong enough to reach out in faith. Offense is important, but without a good defense, you cannot survive spiritually as well as physically. So, in order to give us a defense, God has given us what Paul refers to as the whole armor of God. This armor of God protects us from attacks on our character and our spirit. The reality is the slow death of depression and the loss of hope destroys more Christians than church fires and other persecutions around the world. The odd thing is that persecutions actually grow the church. That's what we know. I mean, you burn down a church, you'd think that everyone's gone. And guess what? Dying churches have their churches burned down and they show up. All the people that you haven't seen in months show up to worship in the grass outside the dead, burned out husk of a church. Why? Because now they realize what they've lost. Because now they understand the cost. And furthermore, those who've seen the people responding to danger find more respect to those who've been physically attacked than those who have simply fallen because they weren't willing to get up and act in the Spirit of God. The inner voice that tells you that you're not good enough to serve God, that's a spiritual attack. That inner voice that tells you no one wants to hear about Jesus, that's a spiritual attack. The inner voice that tells you that you're unworthy, that's a spiritual attack. And recognize that every time you fall for that spiritual attack, the forces of evil win. Because people who are unworthy don't act. People that are unworthy, that feel like God doesn't, that there's no hope, you don't reach out in love. If you think that no one cares, then you don't act in love in your world. Now let's take a look at what the armor of God is protecting. Recognize that you are the temple of God, aren't you? We all know this. You have in you the Holy Spirit. You are the personal embodiment of Jesus Christ to the world. That's what the church is. We are the body of Christ. We contain in us the Spirit of God. If you don't think that's worthy of protection, then you don't truly understand that you have a treasure in that body. As Paul said, a treasure in that jar of clay that we have as a physical body. And when you're attacked spiritually, it's to make sure that that treasure is attacked. Now, most of us don't protect ourselves because we don't think we're worth anything. But the truth is that you are worth a lot to God. You're worth so much because God has sent his own son to die for you. You are worth protecting, and you are valuable. God has said it, and God has sent his very spirit to indwell you so that you might act as the body of Christ on this earth. And that which God sends, God will protect. God will cover, and God will love. And so what does the Spirit of God give to us, according to Paul in Ephesians? Well, the Spirit of God gives us what they call the belt of truth. And let's be honest, you know what a belt in a suit of armor holds? The belt holds a sword. It doesn't just hold up your pants. It doesn't just protect your undercarriage area. It also holds your sword. And I'll be honest, without truth, the Word of God has very, very little reality in our world, does it? You've got to know that the first thing you have to stand for is that which is true. And so when you wake up in the morning and you start putting on your belt of truth, recognize that the gospel is true. That what you believe is fact. It's true. There's evidence. And believe it or not, to the world, you are that evidence. If you don't believe what you believe to be true, then no one else will. And if the church no longer believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ, if they no longer believe that God sent his son into the world, if we no longer believe that there is only one door by which those who want to enter the kingdom of heaven can go through, and that door is Jesus Christ our Lord, if we don't believe it, then no one else will. You can lie to some people, but they can see through a lie. And a preacher that gets up and lies to people, and a church that gets up and lies to people, we will be found out. Without truth in your life, then the world, the slings and arrows of evil will easily penetrate who you are and what you are. You must know the truth to share the truth. And who is the truth? Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And so when we put on that belt of truth, we are acknowledging to the world that Jesus holds everything else together. What you attach to the belt of truth in the ancient armor? Well, it's the breastplate of righteousness. That breastplate protects your heart. Think about it for a moment. Paul is sharing with you a wonderful parable, a wonderful analogy that he's put together with the understanding of the common world in Paul's time. The breastplate protects the heart. Righteousness protects your heart. If you're not righteous, if you have, you know, the realities are, when you leave the house, if you have something that you are conscious of, have you ever had that situation where you spilled like red sauce on your shirt at lunch, and then you've got to go into a meeting, and you know there's red on your shirt, and no matter how much you try to tighten, it's almost like everyone else sees it, even if it's covered. You don't feel right because you know. Even if it's covered up by something else, you know that they'll be able to see it. That's what happens when our heart's not right. And what happens is we then start to act differently in the world. We start to act like someone who's already been discovered. You see, that's how you kill the heart of a person. You do something that makes you dirty or that makes you feel dirty. You're unrighteous in your life. And the reality is that now your armor's already penetrated. Now you're dead on the battlefield because you know what other people can see. Protect your heart by being right in the world. That means trying to keep yourself free from sin. The breastplate of righteousness tries to keep your heart free from sin. In my calendar every day, I have my first scheduled appointment is for prayer. I'll be honest. Sometimes I miss that scheduled appointment. And when I miss that scheduled appointment, what I'm doing is I'm failing to put on my breastplate of righteousness. And immediately my heart is revealed as not a heart covered by God. Something gets in the way. And oftentimes the things that get in the way are my personal pride. Things that, for instance, sometimes what gets in the way is simply 5 more minutes of sleep. I need something for me. I want to watch one more show. I want to roll over one more time and hit the snooze button. And so God loses out to 5 minutes of sleep. That breastplate of righteousness covers your heart and it protects your day. Don't forget to put it on. I love the next one, the shield of faith. And oftentimes we see, I gave you a different image. This is a shield wall. Because most of the time what we see with the shield is kind of Captain America, one guy with a shield. Do you realize that Captain America, that shield can only cover basically this? You know, I mean, you know, the only person with a smaller shield is Wonder Woman, you know, with the bracelets that block things. But the shield of faith in the Roman world was this, the shield wall. A shield wall is the church as a shield. You see, your shield covers a part of your body. But when you're under enemy attack, when you're under the, and what is the gospel? The flaming arrows. No one shoots flaming arrows close to you. You know what a flaming arrow attack is? A flaming arrow attack is when 500 soldiers on the other side of the battlefield all put their arrows in the fire at the same time and let it go. I promise you that a single shield will not cover that. A single shield will only hit 2 or 3 of the flaming arrows coming in, and the other ones, I promise, they'll hit the mark. What the Romans, what the Greeks, what the Vikings, what they all knew about shields is that shields could link together to form the shield wall. This is when all the soldiers knew that an aerial attack was coming. And so they'd form the shield wall, and each of them would get behind the shield wall. They would link their shields as one, and the flaming arrows of the enemy would go into the shields of the linked together community of soldiers. The shield of faith is not something you wield alone. It's something that we as a church gather together to strengthen each other. Faith brings faith. Your faith lifts up someone else's. Your faith protects someone else's faith. When I'm having difficulty with my faith, with my courage, with my hope, you know who I go to? Other believers. And they lift my faith. They let me know that I'm not alone. They form a wall, and in that wall, they cover all of the flaming arrows of the enemy, and they keep me safe. You can live life alone, but if you are living a gospel life, you will not stand alone in the presence of the spiritual powers of darkness. We have to stand together. The shield wall is the evidence of that. Paul also talks about the helmet of salvation. And what does the helmet protect? It protects the brain. It protects the mind. And the helmet of salvation lets us know that what we go to do is worthy of our lives. If we don't have salvation, then there's quite literally no reason for us to engage in a spiritual battle against darkness. Salvation gives us the understanding that even if we fall on the battlefield, that we've been saved. That nothing the world can throw against us is powerful enough to destroy us because we have a salvation from God. We have a life beyond this life. We have a purpose that is worth the work. If you don't believe in the task, then I promise you the task isn't worth it. The helmet of salvation guards your mind. It guards that idea of what you're doing. And more importantly, once you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Son of God sent, when you have that belief, you are given as covering salvation. And that salvation is everything. Being saved means that it covers those issues, those attacks on your mind. You know, I said it earlier, a good bit of the people in the church don't believe that they're worth protecting. I want you to know this. The reason we keep going back to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, is so that you might know that you're of value to God. You are important to God. The attacks, the spiritual attacks on the church normally come in the place of depression and discouragement. They make sure that you don't feel like you're worthy. They make sure that they whisper in your ear, you're not really saved. They tell you that God's not with you. They might even say that there is no God. And what they're doing is they're trying to discourage you from being as powerful as you can be. Because salvation is what creates the church. We didn't do it. God did it. God did it for us and gave it to us. And because of that, we know we didn't earn it. And that helps to make us depressed if we don't understand that God has given it to us out of love. And God's given us a spirit to encourage us and to lift us so that in love we might give it to someone else. That we might share salvation with the world around us. But protect your mind. Make sure you understand that what you believe is important. And finally, I want to make sure you hear this. Every one of the things that I just told you about in spiritual warfare, not a single one of these are offensive, are they? Every one of these things are defensive weapons. They are to protect the church. The full armor of God is to protect against the dark and the evil, the powers and the principalities that attack you. The church has to remember that when we are defending, believe it or not, that's when we stand as courageous as one. That's what prepares us. And in reality, that's what compels us into the world. It's an odd thing, but for some reason, the only time that we get a positive story in the news is when someone attacks the church. I don't know why that is, but almost every attack against the church spiritually that makes the church look ugly, it always gets on the news. Always. The national news especially. A pastor gets caught doing something wrong, I promise you, it's front page of the news. A pastor gets caught doing something right, it's not newsworthy. But when a church defends righteousness, when a church stands against attack, that's newsworthy too. And so the church in Syria that is defending its faith against those who would seek it dead in the Middle East, we recognize that. We understand it. The Coptic church in Egypt, the church around Europe that is seeking to stand, we still remember those things. And we can trumpet it in the world. And when we do, we use the one offensive weapon that we have, our sword. Now, to be honest, a sword is also a defensive weapon, isn't it? A sword defends as well as is offensive. But the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The Word of God is our knowledge of what has come before. It's the Spirit that speaks to us, and it's the Scriptures that we know. Folks, having a sword in your hand means having the Word of God in your lips. It's the understanding that the truth that God has given us through Scripture is powerful, and the world can't stand up to it. Now, the reality is that that's not, you know, I want to make sure that if you haven't gotten the point yet, I want to just dot my I on this. Being in spiritual warfare, you never throw a punch. If you're throwing a punch, you don't understand what we're talking about. If you're swinging a sword, you don't understand what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about here is dealing with the world behind the world. Dealing with the spiritual battles that we deal with every day. Dealing with the world that causes people to think that they're not worthy of God's love. And in order to show the world that they're worthy of God's love, in order to show the world how much God loves them, we need to tell the story. And when we tell the story of Jesus Christ, who came into the world in love, who shared that love, who shared love for sinners, caught in sin, then we understand the true value of the Word of God in our lives. When we tell the story of men and women, foreigners, women caught in sin, men who sinned against God and each other, murderers, thieves, and all of them were called back to God. All of them were loved and protected by God. All of them were covered by the salvation of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Who's worthy? No one. Who's loved? Everyone. When we recognize that that power, and that's powerful, that's a sword that cuts right to the heart of all people. And what it says is, no matter what you've done, God loves you. And God is calling you to repentance. Now, I'm gonna tell you one thing. Once you realize God's love, once God, the sword of God's Spirit penetrates your heart, it does hurt. It is offensive, because what it tells you is that I haven't been what I could be. Every time the sword of the Spirit penetrates my heart, every time I'm cut by the Word of God, what it tells me is that I could have been better. And then it comes right behind me and tells me that I am God's beloved son, and you are God's beloved daughter, and you are God's beloved children. And God wants to pick you up, dust you off, and prepare you for another day in this difficult, dangerous, darkened world. Because it's your job and my job to share the light of God's love in this world. Be prepared. Be ready. And know that the reason that you are to be prepared and to be ready is because you are loved. You are protected. You are important. You are cared for by God. For God so loved the world, for God so loved you, that he gave his only son to cover your sin. And now he's sending you back into that world, protected by the righteousness of the breastplate of God, solid in faith, being your shield, and ready with the sword of the Word of God to move into the world with the helmet of salvation, with your feet covered so that you might go into the world, and with that belt of truth surrounding your waist. You are loved. Now, put on your armor and let's get into the world. If there's anyone here that doesn't feel like they're loved, if they've lived their lives without the full armor of God, maybe not even the helmet of salvation, but you've gone forward, you've pretended, now's the day to put on the full armor of God, to embrace what God is offering you, to protect you in the days ahead. Perhaps you haven't trusted your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, you're one of those people who believes in Jesus, but we don't believe in the church. What that means is that you're engaging in fiery arrows on your own. You've never formed that shield wall. Today's the day to join in. Know that you are loved, you are protected, and God wants you to be one with the body of Christ. As we prepare to make our decisions, as we prepare to serve God in any way possible, let us pray as we seek God's guidance. Loving God, we find ourselves in a world filled with turmoil. It's filled with evil. It's filled with danger. We know that we live in a world that seems to attack the good and celebrate the evil. A world that attacks chastity and celebrates carnality. A world that loves the lie and hates the truth. A world that rejects your word and believes that it is beyond your salvation. A world absent of faith. A world in which righteousness is no more. And that's why we are here. We are here to be righteous. We are here to show faith, to stand for truth, to protect others, to wear the helmet of salvation, and to bring the sword of the Word of God into the world. Loving God, protect your people. Be present with the body of Christ and help us to daily prepare to do your will under the sovereignty and the hand of your protection through the power of the Holy Spirit and with the understanding that we do all in love because we are loved. And we pray it in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.